It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. A couple of weeks ago, in yet another black eye for the administration of Governor Tom Wolf, his secretary of the Pennsylvania Department of Environmental Protection, John Quigley, was forced to resign. Mr. Quigley sent a private email cursing out state environmental groups for not living up to his expectations as he pushed for stricter oil and gas regulations. The email landed as the legislature was considering delaying action on changes to the clean air and oil and gas drilling regulations. Industry representatives say the regulations would be unnecessary and expensive, while environmental groups are pushing for greater protections. The questions we're left with are these. Was he just doing his job, especially if the mission of the DEP is to protect Pennsylvania's air, land, and water from pollution and to provide for the health and safety of its citizens through a cleaner environment? Or did his email indicate he had crossed a line from public service into advocacy and that he was too close to environmental groups? I'm joined now by phone from Harrisburg by Kevin Moody, General Counsel and Vice President of Governmental Affairs for the Pennsylvania Independent Oil and Gas Association. Kevin Moody, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Oh, thank you, Paul. Glad to be here.
Also with us from Harrisburg is Penn Future President and CEO Larry Schweiger. Larry Schweiger, good to have you with us.
It's good to be with you, Paul. Thank you.
And you can only join the conversation, our listeners cannot call in today. You can join the conversation during this segment via email, ESSPGH at WESA.FM, or Twitter at ESSPGH. Again, the email address, ESSPGH at WESA.FM, and on Twitter at ESSPGH. So, gentlemen, let's begin with the question that many are asking, which is this. Wasn't John Quigley simply doing his job, which is to advocate for the health and safety of the citizens of Pennsylvania, by pushing for regulations to provide a cleaner environment? And Larry Schweiger, I'll let you answer that first.
Well, from our vantage point, these regulations have been in the process over 5 years. There were 27,000 individual citizens who commented on the regulations. There were multiple hearings. There were two separate technical committees. The Environmental Quality Board then took up the matter, considered it, passed it, went over to the Independent Regulatory Review Commission, who reviewed the process, looked at economic impacts, and approved it. So absolutely, this thing has been through a rigorous and, I would say, excessive process to get to where we are today. And that is that we need to regulate natural gas so that we don't harm its neighbors. And the industry has gone for many, many years without adequate regulation, and John was, in fact, trying to achieve that.
But in going about his advocacy in the way that he did, didn't Mr. Quigley allow his objectivity to be clouded? Is it his job to rally the environmentalists, especially when he is, by most accounts, supposed to be impartial and is looking at it in a way that indicates he's frustrated and is wondering, you know, why aren't environmental groups aren't showing up for these hearings? Is it in fact his job to rally them to support the regulations, or should he be standing back and being more objective and letting the process play out in whatever way it does?
Well, my take on that is that John was acting out of frustration and we all were experiencing that same frustration. Incidentally, we were all working on the process in the legislature, so it wasn't like we were waiting for a signal from John. We were already active and moving forward. So,
well, then why, Larry, let me jump in. Why, if were acting, if environmental groups were supporting the regulations that he was trying to get passed, then why was he so frustrated?
Well, I think that we should be honest about this and say that the industry has enormous influence over the General Assembly. There's no question about that. I can detail the examples of how that's playing out. And they have this influence because they're major contributors to political campaigns, and environmentalists cannot match that that pressure. And that's what we're dealing with, and that's why I think there was so much frustration involved here. Clearly, all this good work intended to bring proper regulations, something that I think every Pennsylvanian would want to see, that their water is protected, that their air is safe, and that their communities are properly cared for. And I think that's where we're at this point. There's regulations that will help to achieve that, and they're getting stalled out. And so I would be so blunt, I think that the issue is not whether environmental groups were doing their job. It's whether we had the sufficient traction with the state legislature to get the job done.
Kevin Moody of the Pennsylvania Independent Oil and Gas Association, did John Quigley cross a line here?
Well, I would say that he never crossed the line from advocacy to public service. So that he has continued, he never crossed that line. He's always been an advocate, and he continues to be an advocate for the environmental organizations. It goes back to when he was the secretary of DCNR in the Rendell administration, and after the first successful, leasing of, oil and gas resources on state lands, Rendell wanted to expand that, and Quigley took it upon himself to work against that. In Rendell's administration, because he didn't agree with it. It was his boss, but he didn't agree with it. So he worked along with, I understand, John Hanger in developing criteria that would pose an obstacle to that. So he's never really been a public servant. Mr. Swiger talks about the two technical committees with respect to the Chapter 78 regs. Well, sure. What he doesn't say is they both recommended against adoption of these regs, and these were Wolf's appointees to these two technical boards. And third, all this reference to thousands and thousands of comments, transparent process, taken 5 years, that's all beside the point, because even, these technical boards recommended disapproval because they were not engaged. They were supposed to be consulted in the development of these regulations. They were never consulted. They were talked to. DEP and presented, they had a lot of meetings with these groups, but they didn't discuss things with them. They weren't involved with developing their regulations. They were being told by DEP what DEP was doing. And so that's, contrary to the letter and the spirit of why these boards exist. And I also like to say that, this whole, this isn't an issue about the influence of the oil and gas industry in the General Assembly or anywhere else. On the contrary, it's just about the DEP trying to force unnecessary regulations, especially on the conventional operators, that are, will put a lot of people out of business and actually, put the conventional industry out of business. And this is when, Governor Wolf says he wants the oil and gas industry to succeed. Well, the actions speak louder than the words. We haven't seen anything that indicates that.
We're talking about
influence. Well, one more point. Talking about influence in this administration. This administration, and has been reported that, we coined the term the Penn Future Administration early on with Wolf's administration, because he brought in Quigley, John Hanger, and Cynthia Dunn, three people that had been associated with Penn Future. In fact, I believe John started Penn Future. So, the environmentalists certainly have plenty of influence in the administration. I think we've seen that with the way Quigley's acted and forced these regulations and not engage in a real transparent process. I could go on and on.
You're referring to the Chapter 78 regulations developed by the Pennsylvania Department of Environmental Standards at oil and gas well sites, which would require conventional and unconventional drillers to comply with stricter standards, including more stringent spill reporting, cleanup standards, and restoring water supplies that have degraded to Safe Drinking Water Act standards. The frustration Mr. Quigley had with some conventional drillers is that they, with the help of some legislators, have consistently fought attempts by the state to regulate them. How are the regulations unnecessary and expensive, especially when we're talking about complying with stricter standards, including more stringent spill reporting and cleanup standards and restoring water supplies that have degraded to Safe Drinking Water Act standards?
Well, what I'd say is the more pertinent question is, why are the regulations necessary at all? Well, they're necessary because of Act 13 of 2012, which was the legislature's attempt to, address the development of horizontal directional drilling and, the large volume hydro fracturing, associated with getting these resources out of these organic shale formations. The conventional industry has been regulated since 1984 or 1985 under the Oil and Gas Act. And when DEP proposed these regulations, they specifically admitted that the regulations for the conventional industry weren't based on any data. They were just, they didn't say what they were based on, really, other than a desire to, enforce what they believe were appropriate rules and policies they had in place.
There is, in fact, data that shows about half of the 248 water supplies contaminated in Pennsylvania by drilling from 2008 to 2014 were responsible, or that conventional drillers were responsible for half of those water supplies contaminated in Pennsylvania during that six-year period. So why shouldn't these laws apply to them?
Well, first of all, that's data. And where was that data when they proposed this? Nowhere. This all came out after the fact. Secondly, there were 30,000 wells drilled during that period, both conventional and unconventional. So 245 is what, 0.8%. And thirdly, the problems there were, they were temporary in nature. There was a lot of turbidity, which can happen even if you're drilling a water well. And so, most of these problems, they return to normal after, a short period of time. So this was not a kind of long-term contamination issue. It never was. And again, I just keep coming back to the idea that, it was only after, it was a post hoc kind of rationalization for these applying these new onerous requirements to the conventional operations that DEP came up with, they call all these horrors and, violations.
Well, aren't the facts, regardless of when they came out?
Regulations. Doesn't need new regulations.
But aren't these figures relevant regardless of when they came out?
No, they're not.
All right. Larry Schweiger, let me, gentlemen, let's not talk over one another. Larry Schweiger, let's get you back into the conversation here. Conventional drillers are they being improperly subjected to the same rules applicable to billion-dollar multinational corporations engaged in large-scale unconventional or horizontal drilling for natural gas? And if so, how?
Well, let's start with the fact that conventional drilling up until 84 was almost completely unregulated, and we have literally hundreds of thousands of abandoned wells from five spotting and so forth. What we have today is an attempt to bring those 1984 standards up to modern levels so that we don't damage drinking water supplies, so we don't pollute our air, so we don't degrade our environment. And I would say, too, to the notion that these are temporary impacts, when you contaminate a groundwater aquifer, you damage it forever. It's not going to go back to what it was once you load it with the oil and oil byproducts. And so the notion that these are just temporary interferences is just completely off base.
So at the end of the day, when John Quigley was pushing hard for these regulations, was he too cozy with environmental groups? As Mr. Moody states that, he did in fact work for Penn Future. He was a longtime environmental activist. Should he have been more objective? Should someone more objective be hired to run the DEP?
Well, let me just say that I got one email from John Quigley in the time that he was there. So his closeness to Penn Future is up for grabs. I think what John Quigley was doing was what you expect the secretary to do, which is to uphold the constitutional promise to every Pennsylvanian to protect their air and water. And that's exactly what he was doing, and not more than that. The fact that he was feeling frustrated was, based on the attempts to block any progress on those rules. The public understands that we have a serious problem with gas. Those who live near gas operations know it and have sought to get action, and some would ban gas fracking and other practices altogether. We have not done that, but what we do ask for is proper regulation so we don't inherit yet another generation of contamination.
Wait, let me ask you this, Larry Schweiger. Did the secretary's message, apparently you received an email from him You were one of the people that received an email, the famously frustrated email that he sent out. Did his message prompt you to take out the print and radio ads you took out shortly after his email?
We were doing work already to the extent that we could, and when the vote came down, we already were in motion to be much more focused in our messaging, particularly to those lawmakers who voted wrong on this legislation. So, you know, frankly, Quigley did not single out any lawmaker or give any specific instruction. He simply was, in my view, venting his frustration. I've been in this business for 40 years. I don't really need to, you know, to have John Quigley or anyone else tell me when it's time to communicate, when it's time to hold lawmakers accountable. We do that as a natural course of what we do.
Kevin Moody of the Pennsylvania Independent Oil and Gas Association, are some legislators, for example, Senator John Udichak, too aligned with the interests of the coal and gas industry in his district?
Well, I don't believe so, but I'd like to go back to Larry's point that Quigley's email didn't single out any legislators. It certainly did. It singled out the Democrats, such as Udichak, who you know, was on that committee that voted to disapprove of the regulations. He clearly singled them out. And I would say since the environmental organizations, including Penn Future, have come to Quigley's defense and they've said, oh, no, he didn't prompt us to do all what we did after that email. We were in the process of doing it. Well, I challenge them to release all the emails, you know, between them and Quigley, and also to release details of their contracts that resulted in whatever those actions were, whether they were op-eds, you know, mails, you know, press releases or whatever they all did after that. I challenge them to release that information to prove that these things had no relationship to Quigley's email. And as far as being more objective, I think if anyone, you know, anyone who's at the EQB meeting where they considered the Chapter 78 regs, and it's probably still on DEP's website, you know, the Representative Maurer was there and Senator Yaw had a representative there, and they proposed a bunch of amendments to the regulations to make, at least for some clarification, not even really substantive changes, but just to make the regulations do what DEP said they were intended to do. And two in particular stick out in my mind, where, you know, Quigley just, you know, orchestrated just flatly rejecting any of these amendments. One was with the area of review, and it was a clarification that to identify the vertical wells, you didn't have to verify the bottom hole location, because that required, you know, testing of the wells and could subject the operator's liability for operating the well. And Scott Perry said, well, DEP would only enforce that, you know, as they intended. They didn't intend to require that, but the regulation itself would require that. And there was no change there. And also the, you know, the water quality restoration. You know, there Scott Perry, the DEP attorney, said that the operators only had to fix what they didn't break. Because one of the problems we've had is that, you know, sometimes the water isn't even drinking water standards in the first place through no activities and no fault of the operators. And yet DEP is saying, interpreting Act 13, is saying it doesn't matter what you did, operators, you got to make it better than it even ever was. But Perry said, oh, no, you don't have to do that, but that's not what the regulation says. So here's two instances where, you know, the regulations could have been clarified, but every amendment was just voted down, and Quigley orchestrated all that. So he was not objective. I think we do need a more objective Secretary of DEP, and not as a New York Times editorial said last week that we need someone just like Quigley or even a stronger advocate.
Well, we'll get to that question. We'll also get to some emails from our listeners. It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and my guests are Kevin Moody, General Counsel and Vice President of Governmental Affairs for the Pennsylvania Independent Oil and Gas Association, and Penn Future President and CEO Larry Schweiger. We're talking about the resignation of DEP Environmental Protection, the Secretary of the Pennsylvania Department of Environmental Protection, John Quigley, his resignation. Did he overstep his duties? Did he, in fact, make a call to action to environmentalists to get more involved in the process of trying to go to stricter regulations on the oil and gas industry? We'll get to those questions or continue to discuss those questions and take your emails. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and we are talking about the fallout in the wake of the resignation a couple of weeks ago of the Secretary of the Pennsylvania Department of Environmental Protection, John Quigley. He was forced to resign after sending a private email cursing out state environmental groups for, in his view, not living up to expectations as he pushed for stricter oil and gas regulations. Did he overstep his authority? What should the DEP secretary be advocating for? You can reach us via email today at ESSPGH. That's ESSPGH at WESA.FM and on Twitter at ESSPGH. We'll get to the emails here in a moment. Our guests are Kevin Moody, General Counsel and Vice President of Governmental Affairs for the Pennsylvania Independent Oil and Gas Association, and also Larry Schweiger, who is Penn Future President and CEO. And Larry, I wanted to give you an opportunity to respond to what Mr. Moody was saying as we went into the break. Did the DEP circumvent or attempt to circumvent the regulatory process?
Absolutely not. In fact, that's a really important issue because what we have in Pennsylvania is a series of hurdles put in front of the DEP over the years. And so now we have one of the most convoluted regulatory processes in the nation. And frankly, it involves the legislature far more than was intended under our Constitution. You know, Pennsylvania is one of those states where you have separation of powers between the legislature and the executive branch. And the legislature has increasingly inserted itself into the executive branch responsibility, diminishing the governor's ability to do his or her job. And we see this in the way that the department is set up. Most departments can promulgate their own rules by simply publishing in the bulletin and you know, holding some hearings and that sort of thing. In the case of DEP, they need to do that, plus they need to take it before an independent environmental quality board to consider these rules and vote on them. And then from there, it goes over to the Regulatory Review Commission, which has legislative leaders appointing people, and then it goes to the legislature itself, to various committees for further input. So the process has become just replete with hurdles that block the progress for rulemaking. And so you have a five-year rulemaking process to bring gas into compliance. And I would say that if gas wants to be a part of our future, it needs to protect the air and water. And we know that there's a lot of issues here related to carcinogens, related to toxic chemicals, related to, in the case of fracking, radioactive waste. So clearly we need to be regulating this at a different level than was done in the past. And incidentally, the taxpayers are going to pick up the tab for literally hundreds of thousands of old wells that were not properly sealed. And we want to avoid that liability. We want to make sure that the companies who benefit from these projects actually take care of the restoration and not leave that to the taxpayers.
We have an email from Larry who writes, "Didn't John Quigley's behavior as chairman of the EQB meeting approving the final Chapter 78 regulation frustrate the development of regulations that would provide clarity to the public, DEP staff, and the regulated community, where even clear errors would not be corrected when pointed out to DEP and EQB? Is this good rulemaking?" asks Larry. Gentlemen, what about that?
Well, I addressed a number of two examples.
Okay, wait a minute. One at a time here. Steve, let's let Kevin Moody jump in here. Go ahead, Kevin.
Sure.
Yeah, just briefly. I mean, I already addressed two examples of that with the area of review and also the water quality standards. Clear problems with the regulation as written, and yet DEP will not make the corrections to have the regulation state what they intended to state and do, and instead they say, well, we'll work it out with issuing technical guidance documents or policy statements or whatever, and that's not good rulemaking. DEP, when I got involved with environmental regulation, I was appalled by how much DEP relies on technical guidance documents and policy statements, statements they call policy, but they enforce them as regulations, and many times it's just easier for the regulated community to go along than to mount the legal challenges, which take time, money, and frustrate the drilling operations. And so Yeah, I think he clearly subverted that process at that EQB meeting, and well, throughout the whole process, we completely disagree with this whole idea. This was a thoughtful, deliberative, transparent process.
Amy in an email writes, "Didn't Quigley try to end all debate and discussion about the regulation by calling the question under Robert's Rules of Order when he tired of any effort on behalf of EQB members to fulfill their statutory duty to formulate and promulgate rules? As chairman of the EQB, didn't Quigley ensure that the EQB was merely a rubber stamp without any input on the regulation?"
I would say no, and it's really important to remember that we have a board of people, including members from the Citizens Advisory Council, four members of the General Assembly, other agency heads, who all have their ability to say no. And so the vote itself is not Quigley's vote. It's a vote, an action of the committee, of the majority of that committee. And in fact, that's what we ended up with. We ended up with a positive vote from the Environmental Quality Board to move forward with those regulations. And, you know, you can quibble over, you know, whether someone had a half hour to talk about something or 10 minutes to talk about it. The point is, at the end of the day, the EQB adopted properly the rules that were presented and moved those on to the Independent Review Commission for further input. So it's had multiple innings here, and it's time to move forward with proper rulemaking.
John with the Pennsylvania Environmental Council says the environmental protection provisions of Act 13 of 2012 apply to both unconventional and conventional operators. Therefore, the regulations need to apply to both as well. There are only a few provisions in Act 13 that differentiate standards between the two types of operations.
And John's right. That's absolutely right. And so the notion that these regulations for traditional wells are out of bounds is wrong. The legislature adopted a statute that, in fact, addressed both conventional and horizontal fracking. And, you know, and so the department was, in my view, obligated to move forward with those regulations. It should have been done a long time ago, but the various pressure groups prevented that from being moved forward. And so we've had 5 years of poorly regulated gas infrastructure, and we live with some of those consequences.
Colin in an email writes, "My question is, did Quigley meet with industry to understand their concerns, to get the facts about costs and impacts on small businesses in Pennsylvania? How often did he meet with environmental groups?" asked Colin. I don't know if we have a running total on that, but Kevin Moody, how would you answer Colin's question?
Well, I don't know how much he met with the environmental groups, but he certainly didn't meet with us. You know, we provided some organization as well as some other organizations. Pennsylvania Grade Crude Oil Coalition provided detailed cost estimates prior to the development of the proposed regs, and even after the proposed regs came out. A lot of that information was, you know, ignored, and that was one of the problems. I mean, I'd like to circle back a little bit with Larry's talking about it, you know, the regulatory review process, a convoluted process. I can't believe that he brings this up, because all one has to do is look at the IRC comments to DEP's proposed regs, and it's clear that, you know, DEP did not comply with many of the requirements of the Regulatory Review Act. And, you know, but what's the remedy? The problem is, you know, the law is not perfect. You know, agencies that want to ignore these Regulatory Review Act requirements, which are, you know, are common sense, a word you hear from the Wolf administration all the time. They are, but they only work if they're complied with at the proposed regulation stage. It does no good to comply with these requirements when the final regulation is approved or submitted to IRC. But that's basically, you know, I look at IRC's comments, and that's basically what they say. You know, they say, well, you didn't do this. You didn't provide cost estimates. You didn't provide acceptable data. You didn't address small business considerations, all these things. And yet, so we ask that you do so when you submit the final form. Well, I mean, that's just inadequate. But unfortunately, under the current Regulatory Review Act, that's nothing anyone can do about that. And so you have these requirements that are meant to inform the public debate about and commentary on proposed regs, but the information is not out there. It's a disservice to the IRC and IRC staff They can't do their analysis under the Regulatory Review Act, whether it's in the public interest and satisfies the criteria in that act, without this information. That's why the information is specified in there. The regulated community can't likewise formulate and develop informative comments without that information. Legislative oversight committees can't either. So it's a real disservice, and that obviously would require legislative change, although IRC has proposed some changes to its own regulations, and PIOGA did submit, along with a few other organizations, some suggested changes to actually put some teeth into the proposed rulemaking stage so that this information is provided when it's useful and not at the tail end when it really doesn't help anyone.
Larry Schweiger,
as far as the legislative, involvement, the legislature writes the statutes, and the legislature is certainly within their prerogative to get involved if they believe that any agency is not complying with the rules, not only the letter but the spirit of the laws that they've enacted, and that's what the legislature is doing here. You know, Larry mentioned earlier, Act 13, where you put the duty on DEP to do these regulations. Well, you can't pick and choose the laws you want to implement either as an executive group. So, Act 126 of 2014, I believe it was, amendment to the fiscal code said DEP should develop proposed regulations for the conventional industry separately from the unconventional. DEP completely ignored that. They basically did a word processing and split up the regulations into conventional and unconventional. They didn't do any of the activities that are required for a proposed regulation under the Regulatory Review Act. They were developing these rules, PIOGA offered. We had a meeting before they even proposed these and said we would do this. We'd offer to do it for them, figuring they, were...
Okay, let me jump in, Kevin. Larry Schweiger, what about what Kevin is saying here? Does the DEP, you have said that it's the job of the DEP secretary to advocate for protecting the environment, but does the DEP need to do a better job of meeting with the representatives of industry? Does there need to be more of a balance struck here? Or is the DEP secretary, is his job to be the advocate for the environment, for the environmentalists?
Well, in terms of meeting with various people, that's what the technical committees were for. They were for the industry basically dominates those committees. Yeah, there are folks who are separate from industry, but largely they are industry dominated groups. So the idea that they did not listen to the industry had the right to testify at the various hearings that were held across the state, and they did so. And they have telephones. They can pick up the phone and talk to the secretary, which I'm sure they did. I did not monitor, don't intend to monitor those activities, but clearly, any secretary, and in fact, if you look at the record, Quigley was issuing permits for drilling, both conventional and fracking, at a very high pace. So it wasn't like he wasn't being responsive to the industry. So I think the notion that somehow he was captured by the environmental community is just simply wrong and not accurate. In terms of meetings with the secretary, I had one meeting with the secretary since he's been there, and that was on the Chesapeake Bay issues that we were working on. And I had one email. It was, his famous frustrated email. In terms of his communications, I'm sure he talked to other environmental groups. I'm sure he may have talked to my staff from time to time, but it was not some, grand conspiracy as being suggested here. I think what is going on is the industry that has been poorly regulated for more than 150 years is really resisting proper regulation. And in fact, these regulations are separate. There are two separate packages, one for conventional and one for the fracking operations. So the notion that they did not separate them, that they didn't listen to the legislature, is just not right. And there are so many overlaps that the language is similar in both cases, but because the problems are similar. Damaging groundwater, polluting the air, excess runoff, contamination of local streams, all those things are important to be protected, and they have common sources in terms of the activities involved. So I think there's a bigger question here, and that is, are we really protecting the health and safety of Pennsylvanians? And in my view, when you're releasing benzene and formaldehyde, and when you're releasing toluene and number of other, you know, toxic and hazardous chemicals, you have an activity in the case of some of these activities, many of them, that are ultra-hazardous because they're interfering with local communities, with groundwater, with other natural resources, and they need to be properly regulated. It's that simple. It's time to properly regulate, to bring them up to the same standards so you don't have these failures that were cited earlier.
Okay, one last quick question, and I'm going to put this to Larry Schweiger because, Kevin Moody, I'm sure I know what your answer to this would be. Should Governor Wolf hire another John Quigley?
I don't think there is another John Quigley. I think, the governor has a responsibility to hire someone who will, in fact, carry out the Constitution and the various laws that they are charged with. And I hope that he makes a good permanent appointment. We're comfortable with the acting appointee right now. But we clearly need to have an appointee who is committed to protecting the environment. That's what that job is about.
I want to thank both of our guests for joining us on the program today. Larry Schweiger, who is president and CEO of Penn Future, and Kevin Moody, general counsel and vice president of governmental affairs for the Pennsylvania Independent Oil and Gas Association. Gentlemen, I appreciate your time. Thanks for being with us.
Well, thank you, Paul, and thank you for the opportunity to provide some information that some people might not have otherwise known about.
Very good. Coming up, former Pennsylvania DEP Secretary David Hess joins us with 10 opportunities for problem solving. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.